for those of you who are here and those who are listening online. And this has been kind of a crazy week, huh? Yeah. And I know I've been busy, and even some of you know I had a little brief stay at the hospital, and it was for to run some tests. And so and so far the preliminary tests are looking good, so I might be here next week. So it looks that way anyway. So I'm just glad to be here with you all, and in preparing for today, there's a friend of mine named Steve Rennick. He's the regional pastor in Colorado, and I've known him for quite some time. He came up to Alaska many moons ago to minister to the state of Alaska during the AGA and to the pastors and spouse retreat. And I still run into him, and he was reflecting on what's been going on, and he no longer pastors a parish, if you will, but he said, if I could speak this weekend, if I had something, if I could preach this weekend, this is what I would say. And so I just want to share with you some of his thoughts too this morning, in this morning's message. And I know that most of us this week, we have been dealing with what's going on, you know, the questions are coming to mind, like, you know, where in the world did this come from? And how did we not see this coming? And what are we to do now? And I know those thoughts and questions are running through your mind like they are running through mine. And we're starting to hear new vocabulary. We're hearing coronavirus, all right? We're hearing COVID-19. I double-checked the enunciation to make sure, because I heard that some people were saying it's pronounced a different way, and so it's COVID-19. I'm reassured of that. Political correctness, you know, we're not saying necessarily quarantine, but self-isolation. I've heard that. I'd never heard that before, self-isolation. The difference between an epidemic and a pandemic. I think we're pretty much versed on that vocabulary. We've heard it quite a bit this week. And so in the midst of this storm, this unprecedented storm in our experience, what do we do? Where do we turn? Where is our hope? Where is God in all of this? And so, believe it or not, and it may not feel like it just now, but believe it or not, this is not the first storm. All right, this is not our Heavenly Father's first rodeo, if you would. How do we as Christ followers respond to a crisis? And how do we respond to this? Because people are looking at us to see how children of God are reacting to this. And I pray it's not like what we've seen on social media and TV, where people are frantically going down the aisle, taking every roll of toilet paper and everything else there is out there. I pray that we're not acting like that. So let's pray. Father God, this morning, the maker of heaven and earth, we just want to give you glory. We praise you for the fact that you are here with us and that you will never leave us, neither will you forsake us. We again thank you for the creation, the sun, and all that you have made for us. And even this morning, a place for us to worship. We pray that you would be with us here this morning. And in your name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark, the fourth chapter, we're going to look at verses 35 through 41. We're going to look at those. This story is probably a familiar story to most of us here this morning. I really like this story, just the way the author writes it. It's different, a little bit different from the way some of the other authors write the same thing that took place, the same event. But verse 35, it says, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across the other side.'" They're going from the west side to the east side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, he, Jesus, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Wow. That last little bit always gets me. Who is this guy? Who is this guy that the winds and the seas obey him? We're going to look at a couple things in this passage here. First of all, this is not their first storm, all right? Storms that are described in this text here in Mark, they're seasonal in the Sea of Galilee. Those type of seas happen. And for at least four of those in the boat, they're fishermen. And so they were used to heavy seas. So they'd spent most of their lives, if not all their lives, on the water. So this wasn't necessarily new to them, but this one definitely had their attention. When the winds blow, when the waves rock our boat, it is easy to forget the past in the moment. Just like those men on that boat who had fished for so many years. All of a sudden, it's not like the first time they'd been in heavy seas, but today, it's like they forgot everything that they'd ever known, everything that they'd ever experienced. Can you identify with that? Has a crisis ever happened in your life before of any kind? Have you ever had, you know, big or small, whether it may be like yesterday, I'm coming into the parking lot. You'll see it. I'm owning it. All right. I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at the long line at the coffee shop. I'm like, man, that's a long line. And the next thing you know, I'm over here in the pawpaw patch. All right. And so I'm like, how did the truck get over here? Because I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden I'm in a crisis because now the truck is not wanting to go forward. All right. Well, I didn't panic. And I got out. But that's a little thing. But, you know, there are much major things, much major crises that happen in our lives. Like I said, health, disease. In the last 58 years of my life, I can just remember some of the crises, some of the things that I've had to deal with. I remember at the age of 7 hearing the news that my first cousin, who was only a year younger than me, passed away of cancer. It was that time back in the day when you got cancer, that was it. You just died. There wasn't the technology that there is today. And to make things worse, not a year after that, but another cousin, they passed away at they were a year older than I was. So she was like 9 years old. She passed away of cancer. And so now there's like, you know, my mom, she's wondering which one of us kids are going to perish of this deadly disease. If that's not enough, the crisis of my mom, she was being, she had her own place. She was not able to care for herself and the program that was providing care for her, a place for her to stay. They said that program is no longer being funded and they're going to evict her and she was going to be on the street. It was like, now how does this crisis, how do I get through this? Where's my mom to go? The answer was simple, but we still had to deal with that crisis. The crisis in my life of seeing my young daughter at the age of 14 in an orange jumpsuit, shackled. See her in a courtroom in that orange jumpsuit, shackled. And I'm holding her 6-month-old son. That's a crisis, right? What do you do? I've gone through a couple physical things. 2 back surgeries. What am I going to do? It lasted for an extended period of time. I was worried about the crisis of my job. 2 back surgeries and a hip replacement. Oh, and then let's not forget my bride, because we had a scare because we noticed that there was a lump in her breast. And I know that I'm nothing special and that my crises are not unique. All of you I know have been there. You've been in a crisis before in your life. I know as a nation, we've been in a crisis too. Remember, I don't know where you're at when those 2 planes came crushing into those towers. Our country was in a crisis then. Listen, in this moment, we need to pause and think. Remember, God has saw us through these storms. It doesn't matter how big or little the storm is, our God is always there. And he'll always be there. Amen. Secondly, those disciples, they remember Jesus was in the boat with them. It didn't feel like it at first, did it? When we read this, did they wonder, where was Jesus? Yes. Did they go to him right away? They absolutely did. Remember, Jesus is with you. Jesus is the one, he's always with us, the ones that he loves. Jesus is with those who are suffering, struggling with health. Jesus is with the, even now, Jesus is with the scientists, the doctors, those trying to figure out a cure for what is going on right now. Jesus is in that. Jesus has not left us. Jesus is not like Elvis Presley left the building. He is here. I know that for those men in the boat, it didn't look like it and it didn't feel like it. Yet Jesus was right there with them in the boat, in the storm. How many of you, I know that when I was a kid, and I know as I get older, some of the songs that I remembered, you may not know. But as a kid, I just remember singing that song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. You remember that song? He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 And there's like, he's got my brother and my sister in my hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. There is so much truth in that children's song. He's got the whole world in his hand, church. So, thirdly, let us cry out in prayer and not in panic. It's so easy to panic. It's so human, isn't it? Ah, what do we do? What do we do? And there in verse 38, what was their first reaction when they're in the storm? When they yelled, teacher. They went straight to the source. They're like, teacher, you know, the one who knows, the one who has all authority, the one who guides, the one who leads, the one who teaches us, the one who shows us the way. They call for him. They say, teacher, in the midst of this storm, they call for him. They turn, they speak to him, they cry out, friends, there are few things we can do more important in the midst of the storm, in the face of things that are unexpected, than to turn and then to cry out to Jesus. As Christ follows, we are not to panic. We don't freak out. We don't run. As Christ follows, we pray, we pull together, and we serve. Which goes to this next point. We respond in faith. We do not react in fear. Again, it is easy. It is human. It is natural for us to fear. Yet faith, not fear, leads us in the opposite direction. I found that when we, in my circumstances, as a child of God, I don't freak out. I don't freak out anymore. There was a time I used to, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But things have come across me, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to freak out. Last year, my sister says, oh, brother, you, IRS says that you owe $4,000. I'm like, okay. She goes, did you hear me? I mean, because I usually don't ever pay that much. There's switching jobs and all of that. Some other dynamics. But I didn't freak out. A sign was put up in front of our the place where we're staying right now, unbeknownst to me, for sale. Our landlords didn't know that, didn't tell me that they were selling all their properties. They were liquidating until I looked in front and saw this sign that said, for sale. Well, Father, I'm not going to freak out. You've taken care of me before. And you'll take care of me again. I have that kind of faith. And as Christ followers, you too have got to have that kind of faith. Faith reminds us God is with us. God is for us. God is present. God is here. In 1 John 4, 8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. See, God is love. And what does Scripture promise us in verse 18 in that same chapter? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Perfect love. What does perfect love do, church? What does perfect love do, church? It casts out all fears. Perfect love casts out all fears. Just don't say it. Embrace it. Mean it. That is God. That is God's presence. This is our faith. It's our promise. It's our power. This is our God. Perfect love. Perfect love. He is perfect love. And He has nothing to do with fear. I almost want to call and tell Dwayne, we got to sing that song, Fear is a Liar. We got to sing that song today. Because I think so many people are in this world are in fear. But as children of God, Christ followers, we don't need to be in fear. So this one here, we ask God questions. This next point. We ask God questions. I think too often, I think maybe as Christians, we think that we're not allowed to ask God questions. We get that way. I don't know that as a kid, if I'm like, well, I've got a question. If God, and like, whoa, we don't question anything. Well, why not ask questions to the one who has all the answers? Why not ask him? I mean, the ones in the boat did. In verse 38, it was real to them. He's like, teacher, are you going to let us perish? Nothing else had been said. That was the first thing that was said. That's the first thing we read. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How incredibly reassuring it should be to you and I that we can go to him and ask questions. And to know that he will provide us answers. How incredibly reassuring that I don't have to hide things from God. That we can bring things to him. And it's not like a secret. He knows what's going on inside us anyway. He knows our thoughts. How comforting it is to know that we can go to him in anything and ask him anything. Amen? I love that about an awesome God. We need to make wise choices. When we're in the storm, we need to make wise choices. In this storm, the disciples, those who are in a boat, that they all just say, hey, let's get out of the boat. Jump out. Get out of the boat. Abandon ship. No. Did anybody in the boat go, it's your fault we're in this mess? It's your fault. No. No one jumped out. No one abandoned ship. No one began to wave their finger and start pointing it at everyone else. Instead, what did they do? They make the best possible choice in their situation. For us, there are times no easy choices. There may be no easy choices, yet there are always some choices which are wise, and there are choices that are unwise. We are not acting as though what we're going through is a fluke. We're not looking at this as like it's no big deal, because it is a big deal, but we're responding in faith. We're responding in faith. We are doing things at a practical level, making decisions, wise decisions. As a matter of fact, when we're done here, I and the leadership here at Palma Church of God will be coming together and saying, okay, how do we navigate this? What's our next steps? What are the protocols? We know that the state has protocols, the nation has protocols, and gatherings, at some point, they're saying a certain number of people. We need to look at suspending those meetings. Anything larger than 100, that seemed to be a magic number here in this state. Other states, it's 250. I've been doing research, church. I might not have been on my 100% this week, but I've been looking. I've been looking to see what other churches, other leaders are doing. Some congregations much larger than ours, 10 times the size of ours. They're holding worship services this morning, but they've had people all night long scrubbing down every chair with Clorox. And people are making wise decisions. I was reassured by one pastor, that put out, pastors, do not be intimidated or placed in a shame game because you decided to hold church services. Pastors, do not be ashamed. Don't be in the blame game if you decide not to have traditional church services. God is going to honor what you are doing, as long as we are being wise in the decision making. And so this morning we are here, and doors open. And that's not to say that the doors will be open next week. I'm just saying, things may escalate. There may be mandates that are forced upon us for our good, but we will make wise decisions. And let me say this: my ear is open to you. If you have concerns, please let me hear them. Please let me hear them. As a matter of fact, I sent out something. Some of us who have that are connected by Messenger. I said for those who are, we made the decision. Hey, just said for those who are susceptible to this virus, please stay home. If you're sick, if, as it suggests, those are super seniors who are susceptible to this, hey, we honor and cherish you, but we want to see you in a couple of weeks. Stay home. It's all right. Christ, our Heavenly Father, didn't make dummies. He gave us this brain, and we're to use it. And that's what we're doing. Lastly, we care for others. Did you notice in the in in Did you notice when their boat was being swamped by the storm, they weren't all alone? Only in this account, in Mark's account, does it mention other boats. That in this account, Mark is the only one that recognizes that they were not the only boat at sea. There are others on the sea. And I don't know, I can't help but wonder if in their mind they were saying, what about the other guys? What about the other people in the other boats who are going through this? And this is just JR. I'm wondering, we're lucky we have Jesus in our boat. We have Jesus in our boat, but what about the others? When we're going through crisis, when everyone's going through these crises, we know that we have Jesus in our boat. But what about the others? Do we not care for the others? Do we not reach out for others who are in a bad way? One of the greatest commandments that Jesus gave us was that we're to love our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it also says that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus says, there's no commandment greater than this. So how can we love our neighbor? What does love your neighbor look like today? What does love look like today in our community? What does it look like if you know that you have a super senior living next door to you? Regardless of their background, what does it mean to just think, hey, young, I know that we've never talked before. There might be some of you that are in that situation. I've never talked to you before, but listen, with all the craziness going on, is there anything I can do for you? Is there a need? Let me help you. That speaks love right there. I want to reach out to the mayor and say, hey, we have this facility. If things get really crazy, is there a way that Palmer Church of God can help this community? I don't know what it might be like, but maybe we can. Maybe the community will definitely see the love of Christ in us when we open up this facility if this place is needed. If they say, hey, we need a place, because there's no big hotels here like there are in the Lower 48 where they're taking hotels and people are being quarantined in hotels. And what if there's a place that they need to quarantine people? Again, we will need to make decisions, wise decisions, okay? This is on my heart. How can we reach out to the community in the midst of this? As a matter of fact, yesterday when I was talking to my mom, Miss Louise, mom to everybody here, I said, Mom, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay, JR. I'm going to just put myself in the, she didn't say self-isolation. She said, I'm just going to stay away for a week in this quarantine and I think that's the best thing to do. I'm like, it sure is. And I said, Mom, do you need anything? She goes, no, I don't think so. I said, but if you need something, let me know. She goes, well, okay. She says to me, you might want to check on Betty. She wasn't so much concerned for herself. She was concerned for others. What an example. I'd ask that this week that in the weeks to come that that we would not be instruments of fear. And that people, when they see us, they would see a peace about us, a calm about us in this storm that we're all going through. Followers of Jesus in all days, in all circumstances, but especially in a crisis, are those who remember a loving God. So, how do we respond? One way, affirm our faith out loud together. Say these words with me, please. All right, I'm going to say this. Jesus is with us in this storm, and together he will see us through. All right, so I'm going to break that up. Repeat after me. Jesus is with us in this storm, and together he will see us through. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That he will see you through? Do you have that kind of faith? I want you to write down names of people in your circle. People who need to see your faith expressed in a way that says, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. But people that you can go to and help them along. Maybe it's a phone call to Betty. I would encourage that. Maybe a phone call to Louise and to those who aren't here. In words of encouragement. And more importantly, I believe that we should be in prayer. We need to pray. It's even our nation realizes that we should pray. As a matter of fact, the president said, let this be a day of prayer. I'm glad he did that. Every day should be a day of prayer. But as a nation, he said, let today be a day of prayer. I remember when the Twin Towers incident all took place, 9/11, people started coming to church like out of the woodwork. I remember that. All of a sudden, pastors were like saying, man, I must have gave a good sermon last week. Look, my place is full. And for a season, the sanctuaries were full because they know that in a crisis, the place they should be, person they should be with is the one on high and be in prayer. So this morning, before we sing this last song, we will be in prayer. So if you would bow your heads,